Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
Celtic Stuff Live.
Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. I'm your host, Justin Poulin. Joining me, as always, John Duke. And, yep, we are in the rumor mill season because how else would we pass, you know, the time for the next month leading up to the draft, right? We've got to talk about this stuff, and then coming out of the draft, I'm going to wait a little bit, but the suspense is all, it really blows up once the draft happens, right? Stuff really starts to come out, but between now and then, it's kind of silly season all over again. The rumors, the discussion. We've already talked about the exit interviews and specifically Terry Rozier last week. We talked about him going all over ESPN and, you know, going on the grand tour of get me out of Boston. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I obviously have been talking for quite a while, John, about I like the young guys. I like the young guys. I'm going to miss them if we trade them. So, you know, until we get a little bit closer. In the meantime, though, Stephen A's floated some stuff. Bulpet's floated some stuff. We're going to talk about that. The Eastern and Western Conference Finals are, you know, humming right along, and plenty to talk about there as we maybe, I don't know. On the one hand, you would have thought maybe we could be doing a finals preview already, right? Maybe it sounded premature, but based on the way the first two games went in both of those series and then the first three now, you know, you can almost skip right ahead. Just hit that next button, and go right to the finals, it's seeming like, but we'll see. John, what's the biggest thing news-wise that you think hit in the last week, just as far as we're looking at the construction of this team and what might happen?
I mean, I this is what's going to make this show maybe somewhat boring for folks that aren't going to want to listen for the rest of, I don't know, probably until next summer, you know, till July at least. But to me, everything hinges on Kyrie Irving. So the stuff that Bulpet unearthed and, you know, I guess, you know, in a descending order, some of the stuff that Stephen A. Smith was talking about, Brian Windhorst, you know, this idea of, well, he's going to LA and no, he's not. He's going to New York. And then, you know, Bulpet basically, I think the biggest piece is what Bulpet reported and while it's been reported elsewhere. The fact it's being reported again now gives it a little bit more heft. And then, of course, knowing that where Bulpet gets a lot of his information from, or at least that we think he gets his information from, and saying that, you know, not only the Celtics feel like they have a good chance of getting Anthony Davis, but, and they have the best package to get Anthony Davis, but they also very likely have, believe that they can re-sign Kyrie if they get Anthony Davis. So, you know, is it automatic? No, no way, but they're in a good spot, it seems, to contest.
It'd be pretty silly of Kyrie to leave. If the team wanted him back, it would be pretty silly for him to leave after they just made a move for Anthony Davis, especially because when his frustrations did leak out, they really leaked out over the youth on the team and not necessarily, quote-unquote, knowing the right thing to do, the inexperience. And I know Anthony Davis is still a fairly young player too, but he's a dominant young player, and it would have been great to have him around to push back on Giannis. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, that having somebody of that size and skill level to be able to play on the perimeter, to play in the post, to do everything, to be able to athletically, in some degree, match what Giannis is doing. I mean, I think that's the biggest question is, you know, we're spending so much time talking about, you know, what the team was supposed to be and what they were going to be and all this. But, you know, you really look around at what's going on in the league and what the Warriors are doing right now without KD and what Giannis has done, not just to the Celtics, but also now to the Raptors. And, you know, we're recording this while game three is, you know, in the overtimes.
Another stage. Overtime, right? Like how yes. many more are we going to have, right?
Yes, yes. So, you know, who knows where this comes down, but certainly after two
it
games,
it may or
right,
may not end amazing. While we record. That's right. That's one thing we know for sure.
Exactly. It's another four overtime deal, like the Nuggets and Blazers, then there's not much we can do about that. But I think a lot of people are feeling right now that the Bucks are just a world beater and they're amazing and they are, but Giannis is going to be in
they're
Milwaukee.
Just not on Golden State's level though. And in the off season, they're not going to be able to keep everybody either. So they right. come down a notch and they need to go up in my mind, still another notch or two. I think some of this like narrative about them being really awesome is serving two purposes. One, to make the Boston fan base feel a little bit better. And through the first two games, it certainly seemed that way, right? So no problem there. And that, but also number two, what a boring finals if we don't elevate them, knowing that we're about to head in to basically the buzzsaw that is the Golden State Warriors. They're buzzing through people without even being fully healthy. It's just insane. Draymond had a great game three. You know, the whole makeup of that team is like they can constantly pick up for another guy. And I do think if it is Milwaukee and Golden State in the finals and everything's pointing in that direction, I do think Kevin Durant, if healthy defensively, is going to be able to do some things with Giannis that maybe Giannis hasn't had to run into, going through the Eastern Conference. Not that Kawhi isn't a great defender, but I just think, you know, the length of KD could be super helpful in the way they defend. And not to mention, they also have some size in Draymond, who's a pretty good defender as well. And so they can switch back and forth. They could throw a lot of different looks.
It will really be fascinating if we do end up getting that matchup. You know, Milwaukee shooters, you know, going up against perhaps the greatest shooting team. I think we can say it. The greatest shooting team in NBA history. You know, that's an unparalleled, match. And I think you're right. At least he has the length. I don't know if Durant has the strength, truthfully, to stay with Giannis. I mean, Giannis he's got that size, but he does not, you know, he also has a strength that's uncommon. And Durant's got great athleticism too, but, and as I'm, I can't help but report as I'm watching this, Giannis just fouled out on what looked to me, it's one of those close block charge things where it could go either way. So
see, here we are. We'll hear it's going seven. That. We talked about this before we went on air though, but here it is. It's going to go seven right there, deciding factor. And one of two things. It'll either go seven because the league is kind of allowing that to happen. And then what does everybody think then about the Bucks? Are they really all world beaters again? Or do people soften their stance there? But then the other one is, and this would be an interesting narrative, Giannis fouls out and they still win in overtime. And then everybody starts comparing them to Golden State because they're like, oh, look at the depth. And they've definitely been benefiting from the fact that Malcolm Brogdon is healthy. That's for sure.
Yeah, he was a big miss in the Celtics series. I mean, he's just so talented. But again, he's one of those guys that are going to be very difficult for Milwaukee to bring back. You know, Lopez, there's almost no way. I mean, unless he's willing to sign for the mid-level. And I'm going to think someone will offer more than the mid-level to keep him.
After what he's done? Absolutely. Yeah. Not so much against the Celtics, but in this series against Toronto.
No
question. A couple of really great games.
No question. He changes the geometry on the floor for everybody, you know, and when you've got a guy like Giannis out there, Lopez shooting the lights out really changes everything. And so, but going back to roster construction, you know, Giannis is still going to be Giannis. And if Giannis can get away with what he's getting away with, or he adds more shooting, or he adds more versatility to his game at the very least, that's something that the whole Eastern Conference has to contend with. And I don't think we gave enough credit to that sort of internal growth, being a real charge for the team. I thought Milwaukee was going to be the third best team. I thought they were going to, beat Philly. I didn't realize they were going to be, you know, in terms of net rating and those sort of things, one of the best teams ever historically. So, but that's regular season. And yes, they've done well through, you know, 2.5 rounds here of Eastern Conference playoffs. It's an entirely different scenario. And I agree with you that playing the Golden State Warriors 2019 is not something you want to wish for.
Nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to do it. All right. You can follow Celtic Stuff Live on Twitter at @CSL_TweetLive. As well as your host, you can follow me at @CSL_Justin. John is at @CSL_Duke. The entire CLNS Media Network at CLNS Media, Facebook.com/CLNS fans. And download the CLNS Media app for iOS and Android. Simply search CLNS Media in your app marketplace. The YouTube channel, youtube.com/CLNSmedia for high definition. And when we come back next year, full length locker room interviews. You still got the Garden Report, that's for sure, and the round table, all of that coming on the YouTube channel. So some interesting stuff from Maxwell too, a new addition. So, really interesting commentary. Cedric, never afraid to mix it up and, say what's on his mind, and he'll definitely throw out some controversial, sort of takes for us. So we had that this week as well.
It's great to have him part of the CLNS team. Oh, we talk about the Warriors and in terms of all the All-Stars. I mean, man, it's, we are like the Warriors here at CLNS. Everybody, we got all the great podcasters. You got podcasts in the Celtics world. I mean, if you're not a CLNS, what are you doing out here?
That's right. Really? Bob Ryan, like Jeff Goodman, like keep it coming. Keep
the big three guys, Adam Kaufman.
Yep.
Come on. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, good stuff. And so let's go back to some of the news and maybe talk specifically about the Stephen A, you know, Kyrie and KD rumors, since we were just talking about Golden State and their all-world domination without even KD in the lineup. The rumor going that Kyrie and KD would wind up in New York or New York, either with the Knicks or the Nets, and try to resurrect. Now, the Nets had a pretty good season. I mean, they really rebounded pretty well. The Knicks, though, perennially, you know, frustrating, I think, for their fan base. But big time market, right? Dollars are there. And sure, if that dynamic duo were to bring them back to the top, or at least make them, you know, top three team in the NBA and really make good postseason run, it would be a game changer for the city.
It'd be a game changer. Yeah. I mean, forget the franchise, the city as well. I mean, it's, that city has dealt with, and that franchise has dealt with a lot of pain and a lot of suffering from that team for such a long period of time. I mean, the problem is that while it would be great to have this work out for the franchise, you still have the same owner, you still have the same team around them. And so even if that goes through, it's like, you know, it sounds great.
It won't Carmelo itself, but it still may not be as great as it sounds. I totally agree with you there. I mean, yeah. And there's a lot of distractions in that city. It would do an amazing thing for the Boston-New York rivalry, like for basketball, right? We've had it in the other sports, and maybe we've dabbled in it in the past in terms of basketball, but not at the same level as the other sports. But Kyrie ditches Boston, goes to the Knicks, that's instant fire. And then what if the Celtics re-signed Terry and up being the two of them going mano a mano, even if they do trade? Or what if they get Anthony Davis and Durant, you know, kind of like does this thing where he shirks him twice, right? Goes to New York after not going to Boston. You already know how I feel about Kevin Durant, and I've not been pleased with Kyrie for the most part. So you take those two and just make them villains, stick them in New York and trade for Anthony Davis and wait and see how that goes. I mean, that would be, there would be a lot of drama in the Eastern Conference, only a few hours, two cities only a few hours from each other.
I know. I think maybe Durant ends up going there. I think that's perhaps what needs to happen just because of, it seems like this is all set for that to happen, right? He's got the agent who's a New York guy and, you know, his lifelong dream is to be the GM of the Knicks, you know, and that's a weird kind of relationship going on. And it seems as though, certainly when we see what's going on with Golden State and how they're playing without him, it does tend people to look and say, well, they play free now because they don't have, you know, this hanging over them. I think it kind of feels right. But I think what we've seen is that sometimes what we see isn't, you know, on the floor doesn't always represent, you know, where someone is or where their feelings are. And so while I think you're right, it's, you know, there's this kind of narrative and this storyline that all kind of plays in, but it feels to me like perhaps that's a bit ahead of where the basketball is at this point. And I'm not sure, you know, if, you know, Kevin Durant going there makes sense because it allows him to kind of save something after being, you know, the guy who, you know, I don't know what the word is, but kind of basically joined up on the All-Star team, right? I mean, that's what he did. Now it's like, I'm going to put everything on my back and take it over myself. I mean, it seems like a foolish errand in my mind, but that's, you could understand that to some degree, but man, that New York situation is really rough. Third pick or not, that's a rough situation. And having watched RJ Barrett for a good part of this spring season, I'm not sure he's really ready to be the third guy behind Kyrie, or let alone the second guy behind KD.
Nah, they'll make another move. But all right, so if you had to bet on it, oh wait, haha. Celtic Stuff Live is powered by betonline.ag. It's the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals, and you can support our podcast by making a wager on your pick by going to www.clnsmedia.com/CSL. And once you get there, use promo code CLNS50 to get a 50% cash back bonus on your first deposit. That's huge stuff. 50% cash back bonus, and it's betonline.ag. So would you bet on it, John? Would you bet on KD? Or if you were, what would you put the line? Say 40% he winds up in New York, 25%?
Yeah, I'd say probably 50-50 that he ends up there versus the field.
You think it's that strong?
Yeah, wow. I think it's that strong. I do. I mean, just because I think that it seems like he's not coming back to Golden State, and that probably the best bet for him is to have the whole city of New York at his fingertips. You know, in a way, he can really take over as the second best guy in the league, or now the new best guy in the league, now that LeBron has stepped aside, and really take that mantle in New York. I mean, it's all kind of there from a marketing perspective, from that side of it. What I don't think matches up is the basketball or the abject failure of leadership that we've seen in the ownership of the New York Knicks for, you know, years upon years upon years. You know, that isn't going to get fixed by Kevin Durant showing up. So 50-50, I say 50 versus the field. I also don't think it's completely unreasonable that if Kyrie comes back, if you know, AD comes here, I don't think it's crazy to think that the Celtics wouldn't make a phone call to see if KD would opt in and trade for him to come here. I don't think we haven't really talked about that lately, but I think that that's a phone call that would be made, particularly if they know that they haven't completely locked down Kyrie, and they're going to go ahead with the Brow trade anyway.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, kind of like a 2B. I don't know. Like, it's because you're still pursuing the same thing, but you're adding on to it. And if they did, then, you make the phone call before July 1st and you say, look, if we can lock that down and convince him to opt in and all that. I mean, the draft is somewhat early this year. So you do have some time before that June 30 now, that June 30 deadline of trying to, make a deal, I guess, or a pre-deal, I suppose, with NBA free agents.
Yeah, the pre-deal is kind of funny though, right? Like it's a huge gamble, right? If somebody, you know, if you make some moves and somebody pulls off the table, you're stuck with the moves you made.
True.
And it might not be what you would have done or what you would want to do. That's where it gets a little sticky, but
right.
You know, and the Celtics have 3 picks. They're probably going to pick somebody to stash, you know, unless they include them, but the value is pretty low. You know, the other thing Stephen A said, and I want to talk about LeBron a little bit because you threw him out there, but it's almost like he's falling off the map, right? Just the whole, like, it was just, kind of fun.
Ooh.
It's kind of fun. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
He falls off the lap. He falls off and then all of a sudden Giannis is an all-world beater this year. And he's taking 4 steps. Anyway, so Stephen A says, no way Kyrie goes to LA. But that's not necessarily what we heard from Brian Warnhurst, right? So, you know, that may or may not be the case. I don't think Kyrie wants to pair up with LeBron in LA because I don't think they can sell him on what happened this season and him fixing it. That's why, you know, if he goes to New York, that's different. He's going to pair up with Kevin Durant. He's going to do his own thing. I just don't see him going to LeBron in any circumstance other than, you know, we're pretty much guaranteed to go get a title.
Yeah. I think that was something that, maybe on LeBron's side, there was wishful thinking. And clearly, you know, that's the stuff that filters through the Windhorse is those are the things that they want to get out there, right? That they want to try to get out there. Oh, no, we're good now. Well, I don't know. Are we good? It seems like those guys are the ones that really kind of started his descent into madness, with all the rumors and all the stuff about AD and saying that Kyrie was going to come to LA. It seems like that all started from Clutch Sports and Rich Paul anyway. So I don't know. I don't think I'd be all that excited about jumping on board to the Los Angeles Lakers if I were Kyrie. I'd want to make my own thing, you know, and I think that's still why Boston.
That's what he thought
he was
doing in Boston.
The best thing.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Yeah. But he could. You know, where that cap space exists, there's lots of play. He gets paid the most in Boston if Boston wants to pay him. That's the other thing. Like, that's the chip that outside of a sign-in trade, you know, him trying to control his own destiny and go somewhere else leaves a lot of money on the table. And for some reason, that source of pride directs a lot of these players in a certain direction. It's one thing when you've already made, you know, a ton of money and you've already been the highest paid player and then to then take a cut and say, I'm doing it because I want to get another ring or I want to get a ring. But, you know, when you're Kyrie and you've been on a fairly cap friendly deal, I mean, it was a big deal when it was signed, but based on the explosion that's happened since then, you know, he's nowhere near making the kind of money some of the other guys have over the last 3 years. Right. So that's a tough one, I think. That is definitely in Boston's favor. And even in the sign-in trade, maybe they work something out. And, you know, even if they don't keep him, he's going to get paid and somehow it's going to go through Boston. I'm actually pretty confident in that. I could see him leaving and going with KD and going to New York. And, you know, if KD, and here's how that one really works. If he's really willing to take a pay cut of some type because he really wants to build a super team, then it's him and KD on, you know, friendly deals and said third person that they bring in. So then you don't have to worry about, and that's how that gets done. It's kind of the Miami thing all over again, except you don't have a Dwayne Wade sitting around in New York waiting for him to show up. It would actually be 3 players kind of moving on over there, but they could do it, right? If they had 3 $20 million deals, they could absolutely put together quite a team. So that's the only scenario, but I still put it in Boston's favor. He wants to get his max deal. He wants to get paid, and that puts them in the driver's seat and probably puts the kibosh on New York. Although, being a Jersey kid, New York's pretty close to home, pretty close to the people he grew up with, right? I mean, I know he traveled a little bit too, but he, you know, he's got that Jersey connection. The other thing that Bull Pett said was that the Celtics are interested in Anthony Davis regardless of what happens with Kyrie, and that they're confident, you know, he'd re-sign. And I guess they were talking about Kyrie on that, but what about AD? Are we assuming that there's going to be a contract extension as part of any trade deal, or are we going to make, we're going to move and gamble on the ability to re-sign him the same way we did with Kyrie?
I think at this point, you're not going to get, any sort of signing. I think it almost disadvantageous for him to sign, to extend or anything. So I think it actually, they're almost forced because if he signs, he can't sign the mega super extension and then dealt, and then it kind of ruins his leverage. And so I think Windhorst was talking about this, that basically he has to go to free agency. There's the only really, the path is he has to go through the free agency.
Will he be restricted?
No.
See, that's really bad. That's really scary to give up all, everything we've been rebuilding with. Mm-hmm. We might only have one piece left and everybody's gone. That's a huge gamble. And then all of a sudden we're back at ground zero again. That's the thing that kind of scares me in this Anthony Davis thing. That's why it's like, I almost feel like you gotta get a re-sign before you trade for him. You gotta have knowledge that you're gonna have him for several years. I mean, I know Boston got the new practice facility, and they've done all these things, and there's the mystique and everything else, but man, you know, imagine if they had another tough year next year, right? Just imagine Kyrie stays, they sign him to that deal. Turns out Kyrie is a locker room killer. Anthony Davis doesn't like him as much as he thought because now he's got to play with him every day. And all of a sudden you're stuck with Kyrie and Anthony Davis walks. That's an ugly, ugly situation.
Well, maybe not. I mean, it's certainly not preferable. You know, I mean, the Celtics are in a bit of a, you know, they've got to make a choice here, right? They've got to figure out which world they're going to live in. And if they aren't going to be able to compete with it, does Tatum Brown get you to a point where you're competitive with Giannis and whatever Milwaukee can build around him, or Philly with whatever around Embiid becomes, whether they trade Simmons and get a real point guard or what have you, are you able to be competitive in that world? And, you know, I think that's in doubt. I think, you know, while Tatum has, I think I still believe in Tatum, I'm not sure that he has a ways to go in year three to show that he can be that linchpin scorer. You know, Brown showed growth, but as to what end, to what degree? What's great about
the Celtics? They can't grow in this environment, well, though. Shots. Like, if you really,
but so what? Anybody,
yeah, but my
if
point
you really
is,
think
if you want to, if
are they
you want a player,
point scorers? No.
Dude, if you want a
neither
player,
are.
They can't be. They can't
no, no, no,
be.
No, no, no,
this
I'm not
construct.
Talking about that. I'm not talking about what they did. I'm talking about you take who they are. If Kyrie isn't part of it, if it's, you know, if you take that out, you wipe out the
slate.
Then
I think yes, that's exactly my point.
I don't think they are.
But I haven't made the point yet. The point is that they need to be able to do what all those other stars do at this stage of the game, which is a lot of volume and a lot of mistakes. And then they work through that. If they don't, no. Do I think they're going to get there playing third and fourth options? No. Definitely
yeah, but
not.
When? When? And meanwhile,
they're freaking 21 and 20.
Yeah, but at what point? Like how long do you wait? You've got stars under your control now. You left them walk for nothing.
You don't
and then
have
you fill
them
nothing
control.
Around.
You have one
Tatum
star.
Brown.
You have one star.
Great.
You have one star, and you're talking about moving all of these pieces that just took all these years to build to go get another star who might not stay after a year.
Might not stay, but you could keep these pieces, let Kyrie walk, let Horford walk, Have Hayward become something or maybe not. And then what are you left with? You're left with two stars that are okay, that you're going to have to max out, that are, that may reach their potential or may not. Or you trade them for a top five star now and you go for the hope that you can re-sign him in Kyrie. I mean, it's right. It's Tatum and Brown for Kyrie and Anthony Davis. 26, 27 year old, top 10, top five players in the league versus two players that one has probably top 10 potential, one has top 20 potential.
Yep. No, I get it.
Hand.
I mean, get it. But all right. But just follow me here. If a year from now, you've got a Gordon Hayward who didn't rebound on a $30 million deal, Vin Baker, and none of these guys, none of these young players, and we're starting over, are you going to be singing, hey, that was the right thing to do then?
I would say it was worth a shot. I would certainly regret. Look,
you think all of this is about what you sticks know. Around in that scenario?
All of this is about what you know. This is about agents right. talking
what
to
I know
agents
is
and that, all
that Anthony Davis but, won't be signed beyond next year.
I know, but you have to take risks and gambles. I mean, that's the whole
I don't
deal.
See why they can't so, have him re-signed
because,
before he's traded.
Well, look, I'm not into the cap. I don't know how his super max affects whatever. I'm not going to get into that. I really don't care about that.
Oh,
what
meaning
I'm saying
that the
is,
Celtics couldn't make the deal well, for him because of the salary.
No, I don't think that's it at all. I think it's a question of his signing and how that impacts his ability to be traded. But that we can't go
or
down that
at
road.
At least a conversation where he signs an extension after the trade then.
I don't think you can do that. The KG deal I don't think exists anymore in the CBA.
That you can't trade for a guy and then offer the extension like you do with every other player in October?
No, you can't. It's not every other player in October. Only guys that are extension eligible. So like Brown is extension eligible. So by the end of October, they have to make a decision on whether or not he's going to.
So he would not be extension eligible after being traded.
Brown would be, but.
No, I mean Davis.
Davis is a different situation. He's a different situation altogether. But I don't want to go down that road because I don't know enough about.
Yeah, we have to figure that out though. That's really critical.
Well, maybe not. Would he even want to? I mean, the point I wanted to get to though, because the Celtics cap sheet after 20 opens up big time. So after this season, right now, as you sit, if Kyrie were to opt in, which he won't, if Al Horford were to opt in, which he won't, but if not, I mean, basically all they're left with after this coming season is Smart's $13 million, Tatum's $9 million, Gordon Hayward's $34 million, which is big, but they're really...
You're reading Keith Smith's little breakdown.
No, I'm not. Actually, I'm reading from...
Yeah, you're right on the cap, basketball reference.
Yeah, so, I mean, the point is, though, is that, like, it's wide open for them after that. So if you trade and you do that, then you start from scratch. You don't have the assets that you had, but Celtics have all of their own picks and they've got cap space, you know, and I don't think they're going to make a deal because of some of the stuff we're talking about, his ability to extend and or not extend. I don't think they're going to make a deal without giving up all of Brown, Tatum and the Memphis pick. They're going to have one of those three at least. If not two, because while everybody's all bent out of shape about trying to make a deal for Anthony Davis right now, and the Knicks are going to give everything and the Lakers are going to give everything. All those teams are still going to run up against the same issue you and I are just talking about right now, which is it's almost impossible or it's next to impossible, whatever, to make a deal with him now. You know, even the Lakers are his professed place he wants to go. I don't think that should make them feel like they can empty the bank vault. Maybe more so than any of them because the rest of them are desperate, but I don't think the Celtics are going to empty the vault, back up the Brinks truck, as it were, to get Anthony Davis here. Just don't see it.
They gotta be really confident they can re-sign him. I'll say that. Could you imagine?
Could
you imagine if we traded for him and then he winds up in LA in free agency?
But you could trade him in February too. I mean, let's go
down
that
road.
You trade for him.
So
you give up Brown and Tatum, and you flip him to LA, and you get Ball and Ingram and, you know,
and
whatever.
Barf. And more barf and barfing.
But what, you can't have it. I mean, if you're going to do it, you have the asset. Then you make the call as to where he goes. It's not like, it's not like this is like you're just going to give away everything and never get anything back. There are benefits here, you know? There's still possibilities.
Dude, that scenario that you just described is a worse scenario than the one we lived this year.
Why? Why is that worse?
Trade for Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Go into next season and get to a point where you're spinning him off at the trade deadline.
Well,
that's
you're
uglier
talking about
than
him
what
leaving.
We just did.
Yeah, but you're talking about him leaving. Like, you have to make decisions as you go along. You can't be like, oh, we're in February. Well, I guess we better just hope it all works out like we did with Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier was like a fungible part at that point.
I'm with you. You're only emphasizing my point about the level of risk on this.
There is risk. Yeah, sure.
Huge, huge.
Yeah, but huge. Like,
and you could be left with little to nothing.
Okay, but let's really go back. Okay, but let's go back to the KG deal, right? I mean, what did we have there? We had all these young players and young talent.
Yeah, that was different. It was definitely different. As much as we all loved Al Jefferson,
90% wanted to keep him over get Kevin Garnett. Remember our draft night show?
Yeah,
Why are they doing Ray Allen? What? His ankles are busted. He's old. He's beat up. Like,
I still don't understand the Ray Allen one.
I think you're heading down the same road. we were down then.
I think the players are different. You know, you start matching up Delonte West, Al Jefferson, and Perkins with Tatum and Brown and Smart, and it's just not, this is not a recency bias scenario. It's where they were drafted in the draft. It's their actual level of talent. Like, you can't take those three and match them up with the three that I just mentioned and not see an obvious uptick in talent and potential with the three that are currently on the team.
Okay. Let's
like, that was a no-brainer. The Kevin Garnett deal was a steal. It was an absolute steal in terms of assets.
Okay. But I think that Al Jefferson at that point was clearly an all-star in the making, a 2010 guy at 20. Let's see, he would have been 22 years old at that point, 21 years old. 6'9", could score from anywhere, and hadn't figured
out. Not anywhere for that time. He wasn't a three-point shooter. That's what.
No, no one was.
That was his demise.
No one was doing that.
But that's my point, though.
No one was doing that.
Unfortunately for his career, he phased out. Back to the basket players. Like,
it was injuries. It was injuries.
And injuries.
But nobody was looking at the back of the basket thing at that point. It was more, his injuries helped him back.
No, I agree.
He went through, couldn't defend. Like, it was all that. You know, the collection of talent you sent was a lot of, B-minus players. I mean, right, Gomes, Delonte West, fine players, decent players, not blue chip players. You know, I mean, you take that, the number five pick in a pretty low draft.
If you traded
that's
two of Smart and Brown, you're basically saying you're sending two Al Jeffersons, in my opinion.
But again, I don't think you're sending, I think you're thinking they're sending everything for him, and I don't think they will.
All right, so what do you think the package, you said two of Tatum, Brown, and the Memphis pick, and Smart's money's probably going to have to be included, right?
Yeah, I think it's Tatum, Smart, and eight, and the Memphis pick. That's what I think's going out.
Tatum, Smart, and the Memphis pick. Yeah.
I think Brown stays. And it's not because I love Brown versus Tatum. It's not because I just think that New Orleans would rather have one more year of cost control, let Boston pay for, Jaylen Brown this summer and extend him, which won't be an easy extension potentially.
I was just going to say that could be a loss just based on.
You would almost want to send Brown over Tatum because of that. Now, what's interesting too is that what role will Kyrie play in this? Because if Kyrie says, I'll come back, but it's got to be Tatum instead of Brown, I mean, Tatum's got to stay instead of Brown, which could happen. Share the same agent, the Duke thing, the Duke connection. You may have to throw in more to make it happen, but I think Boston still would do it. And everything we've seen, you know, if you read the tea leaves for what, read between the lines of what, you know, Bolpet's saying, it seems like that's exactly, that there's a deal there to be made one way or the other. And if Kyrie puts his foot down on that, the Celtics are going to say, absolutely. You know, Brown, Smart, number 8. See ya.
Yeah.
You know, and if you do that, you still have Tatum. You have Tatum and a clear cap sheet in 2020.
Yeah, you definitely need one of those young players.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Now, if it's Brown and Tatum and Smart, I don't think you throw in number 8 at that point, or the, you know, the Memphis pick at that point. There's just no way.
I definitely think you want to keep, I think you want to keep one of those three, and you definitely want to move the Memphis pick.
I think
you need players that are already developed. You don't want to try to develop anybody.
Yep.
Like that pick has got to be an outgoing asset to save another one. And it's actually in line with what any team that would be rebuilding would prefer to. They would prefer to be able to go and draft their own guy and have the excitement. That's what, and especially if they can have a couple of players that are young, but also good enough to put some wins on the board. So, all right. Well, if we're going to have room for an outtake, that's going to do it for this week's show. It will be available on demand on the CLNS Media mobile app. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @CSL_Justin and @CSL_Duke. A heartfelt thank you to everybody for tuning in. Remember, you can support the show by subscribing to Celtic Stuff Live on iTunes and Stitcher. We'd love it if you gave us a rating and a review because your feedback is important to the show. For staff writer Samuel Elias, executive producer Larry H. Russell, the founder CLNS Media, Nick Gelsone, for my co-host John Duke. I'm Justin Poole, and thank you for listening to this week's edition of Celtic Stuff Live.
Celtic Stuff Live.
Al Jefferson and the injuries.
Hmm.
Do you remember the whole ankle thing and JB?
Yeah.
And
yes.
He was convinced there was something wrong, and I think we got into like a pseudo argument with Bulpet about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he was JB was saying that there was, you know, what's really going on here. And remember they did.
Brian McKean is hiding stuff. He's hiding it. He's inept. He's inept. Remember that was what he was.
Yeah.
But he kind of put Bulpet on the spot. Well, I remember that.
And I would say if you, you know, when they made the change 2 years ago and they went away from the training staff and the medical staff that they had, you know, they had kind of a spotty record, you know, going back to that time, going back to, you know, KG's knee in 2009. I mean, there's been a lot of strange, injuries that were not diagnosed as well as perhaps they could have been. And so I think our man JB might have been ahead of it.
Went on the fire. Yeah.
Absolutely.
He called the David Blatt hiring too. He was like, so he's going to hire David Blatt. So he's going to hire David Blatt.
I'm telling you, yeah.
And he was definitely in Tim Donaghy's camp too. And I guess the book is out on that one.
Yeah. that's true. That's
the best way to spend that, I think. But
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I loved Al Jefferson, but remember we drafted him at what? 16, 17? 16? I thought it was 17, but
he was,
or
14.
Was it 14? He was 14.
He was 14.
You're right.
They were just. Yeah, that was the year I wanted them to tank, but John Carroll took over for Jim O'Brien and they weren't bad enough. And I was so pissed at the Celtics because they weren't going all in on the tank job to get Robert Swift.
Robert Swift, I remember that. You know what though? You almost wonder if Danny had him right, but because when you go back and read the articles on Swift and you know, just the substance abuse, I was definitely not in Swift's camp at all. I had Al Jefferson spied, you know, probably in, you know, late March of that year. That was the guy I wanted. I was like, yep, we definitely got to go get a high schooler, get a young big man. There's no other way we're going to pull this off. We need a big man. And I don't know, you know, why I didn't like Swift, probably because I thought he was lanky and I thought he would get his butt beat, you know, in the pros. I just thought he would get pushed around, but he's actually a pretty athletic guy, and he did put on a little bit of muscle, but if you've read any of the articles about the substance abuse, that was probably the biggest issue, you know, that he had in the league. But maybe, you know, were he clean and sober, he might have actually wound up panning out, and we might not even have had this conversation because Al's injuries would have prevented him, and maybe Swift would have been something else. You know, that just goes to show you, it's like, you got to remember, like, the people that the players are getting drafted in this league are just kids. They're just kids. And, you know, no amount of talent, you know, necessarily is going to supersede. There's a lot of talented guys that never made it that, you know, there's a lot of pressures, a lot of things that can go wrong along the way. So that's one that happened for Swift, but you know, even Delonte, you know, he just had the deck stacked against him. You know, nothing he can do about that. Yeah. He was awesome. I loved him as a player.
That's, you know, that goes to the whole, you know, mental health, and the importance of that, and the Celtics being a team that's kind of flagged that and really trying to provide support. Marcus Morris is a guy you wonder, would he take slightly less than market to come back, because this is the first team that's really kind of been in his corner. You know, those things matter, and the Celtics being a team that gets it. Maybe Robert Swift doesn't go the way he went. You know, I'd say Delonte was a pretty good citizen when he was in Boston. It felt like they were finding a way to keep
his career.
Absolutely. And both stints, you know, both stints he was able to do well here.
And we had fun. Yeah. Waya Hanga. He was having a ton of fun. I think he enjoyed Boston. You know, I think Boston embraced him. That definitely helps a ton. Mm-hmm. You know, the trade may have disappointed him greatly too, because I think some of that is what happened to this team this year. These young guys develop some camaraderie together. They're peers. They're coming up together. Mm-hmm. They're dreaming together. And when you disrupt that, it really does throw a monkey wrench into the culture. And it's a lot of times when these players first learn and you start to hear them say it's a business. Even Isaiah Thomas fell in love with the city, broke through here, really. I mean, he was scoring, but this is where he finally was like on the stage. Everything he had been trying to be, it happened here. And then emotionally he got attached. And then next thing you know, he's getting traded away and he's like, yeah, it's a business, but you know, it still hurts him. And, you know, I kind of wonder sometimes if Delonte was the same way. I mean, there is something about, you know, you can't expect these players not to have an emotional connection to where they play. That whole thing, it's a business, is baloney. It's not, it's true. It's a business. And so you can't count on, you know, them having equal loyalty. But as far as the players go, like they do, they fall in love with their community. They fall in love with the people that are around them, you know, that work within the team, the guys behind the scenes. Remember all the love for Brian Dew before he left. You know, those kinds of things, those things matter. That's the real life that surrounds the game. And so, you know, to just say it's a business, you know, yeah, it's a business and they've got to win championships and that's what they're in the business to do, but you can't fault players for getting emotionally connected when they're there or, you know, being upset about leaving. And you almost wonder if that rocked Delonte's boat a little bit, you know, the same way that, you know, just the dynamics this year kind of rocked some of the young players who, you know, had really played way above in the postseason last year.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, it's, I think they're getting better as players. They're getting better at being able to balance those things. I don't think we see the peaks and valleys in the same way as we did, say, in 04. But certainly the mental health and the happiness. This has been a year probably most of all. And we've seen this up front probably as much as anybody outside of the Bay Area, of the moodiness of a player and their happiness. And there is that impacts and infects everything. And that's, you know, you said it's a business, but you have to invest, your business has to invest in keeping employees happy and keeping
culture.
Your players happy. You
culture.
Need culture. Absolutely.
Every business needs
it,
culture.
Exactly.
And so that's, all right, we're going to table it. We're going to end it right there. But That's what's scaring the crap out of me right now, because Brad had culture and all of a sudden he doesn't. And I don't, I mean, we may be looking at a coaching change.
No, stop.
Yep.
That's crazy.
No, that's get ready. Crazy. Not this year. No. Not this year, but if they trade for Anthony Davis and next year isn't just everybody winning cures all ills, if that doesn't happen next year, could be the coach to go.
Oh my gosh. No, that's no.
I'm with you. I love Brad. I really do. And I think he's great fit, et cetera, but question marks abound.
That's what I'm saying. If it got to that point, if culture is an issue, they trade everybody. Brad will outlast the players. That's it. Brad and Danny and
oh
Nick,
my God. If we get to that point, wait till the divisive, you think it's ugly now? Think about how ugly that will be. That will be the ugliest.
Oh yeah.
Crap storm. It's just going to get out of hand.
But,
all right.
But I think that's where we are now. And after the
I'm just saying it'll get worse. Unless they commit to Brad, do the trade, and then all of a sudden everything's back on track. And then it'll be like, yep, should have gone with what Justin said. Stayed young, developed those players. All right. That's it. I got no more.
Yeah. You get the last laugh.
I'll let you have it.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
No, yeah. You were the last one to laugh.
No, it's fine. I'm over it. I'm moving on.